short story, I had moved here from BC. I was here for about a year. I was at the U of M doing education, and I was student teaching at St. John's High School here in the North End. I don't know if you remember this or not. Probably not. And I was having a hard year because I was in education and because I had moved here from BC, and I was experiencing one of my first winters and actually was going through a lot of health issues too. So it was just a lot of stuff on my plate. I was a little bit overwhelmed. And like I said, I was teaching at St. John's here in the North End, a little bit out of my element. And as you know, you guys lived right across the street from that school. And I don't know what exactly happened, but I think Becky saw me walking one day by there, and she invited me in for lunch. And I sat with all of you guys and had lunch. And it was awesome. And it was really simple. You guys gave me soup. I still remember that. And but it brightened my day that day. And so it was just a small token of hospitality that I experienced. So I just wanted to throw that one in. And the other one is where maybe Sean and I are extending hospitality a bit, where we moved into the West End quite a while ago, but we specifically moved onto Simcoe Street 5 years ago. And Simcoe Street, by the way, is the best street in the world. Just want to put it out there. And
College.
Oh no, come on, Simcoe, man. but you know, it's a bit rough around the edges. And when we first moved there, we were kind of like, wow, this is a little bit different than what we had before. And one thing we noticed right away, and I think it was actually Sean who noticed this, was that every house on the street had a fence in front of it. And if you ever drive down certain streets, you notice that every house, you kind of know the economic and the social economic status of a neighborhood. If you drive down and there's like no fences in front, or if there's fences in front, it's a good indicator. And so we noticed that all the houses had fences in front, and it's kind of like a, well, it's actually not even kind of, it is. It's a physical barrier towards your neighbors and towards guests. It's like this physical, you may not come closer. And so we decided when we were doing some renovations when we first moved in to fence the backyard, but not the front yard. And so if you go up our street, there's, I think, one other house close by that has no fence, but it's like fence, 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 no fence. And it's really obvious. And it becomes more obvious as the snow comes, because all the kids will come and start playing on our front yard, because they don't necessarily have space to do that in other places. And so it's like kind of this welcome mat without actually verbalizing a welcome mat. So that was very intentional, and that's our sign of hospitality to our neighborhood.
Why did you do that?
We did it because we wanted to be welcoming, and because we very intentionally moved to Simcoe. And so our plan is not just to live there, our plan is to like be and be present there. And so we did it so that people could come and see us on our front steps. We have a few front steps, and they do. It's great. Kids come, they hang out. We find all sorts of people in our front yard. It's wonderful.
Is there ever any issues with that?
Safety issues?
Safety or like boundary issues.
Yeah, oh, definitely. I mean, you're living your life, right? So sometimes you just don't want to deal with the neighborhood. I'm totally be honest. And so you go out the back door. Because you know if you go out the front door, you're going to be swarmed, right? By kids and by people and by everything. And part of it's wonderful. Part of it, I love going outside and it's like, hi, Natasha, hi, Natasha, hi, Natasha, hi, Natasha, hi, Natasha. I'm like, hi, 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 hi. You know, part of you wants to bring the groceries in really fast and not deal with that, right? So sometimes you go at the back. I'll totally be honest with that, you know, and sometimes you just go at the front and say hi to everybody and see how the kids are growing up and stuff.
I think, do you relate to that? Anybody else relate to that? Like, I love that. That's a really neat picture of having an open front yard with a closed backyard.
Yeah.
I think everybody needs a bit of both, eh?
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. It's a good, you know, you still need to live there, and part of living is interacting and being open, and part of it is I need a backyard so I can have a bit of sanity sometimes. And I mean, not that the kids don't come back there, but they ask because we have it fenced off, so they're polite with that. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you. Thanks very much.
Great.
Who did I see next?
Violet Rademacher, everybody. Yay, Violet! So So we were talking about hospitality and about extending welcome or making room or space to the other, and immediately a story came to your mind as we were talking about this.
My story took place a few years ago. The Vineyard Churches of Canada had a gathering in Winkler, and if you've ever seen the picture downstairs of the hand in the clouds, that's where that took place. Anyway, we were there. Everybody was camping because it was on a campsite. And we had our motorhome there, and we had our daughter-in-law and four of our grandchildren staying with us in this motorhome. And before we left, John says, let's have a barbecue for some of the people that are coming. How many of you know the Richard Sinclair family and Kenny and that whole gang? Okay, well, they were all there camping, and John wanted to have them over for a barbecue. So I thought, okay, I think there were about eight of them. And the six of us. So I bought 2 dozen hamburgers. It doesn't sound like very much, but I figured it out and I figured there'd be enough. 2 dozen hamburger patties and 2 dozen hamburger buns.
2 dozen. So that's 2 24. Times 12 equals 24. Okay, yeah. Just making sure.
Yeah, 24.
Following, I'm with you.
Yeah, okay.
Just making sure everybody else is with you.
Okay, so the time came for the barbecue, and we're out there. John's out there getting the barbecue going, and as people are walking by, he's inviting them to come and join us. And
does anybody else have a husband like that?
And, you know, like, sure, there's a store in Winkler, but it's not exactly around the corner from the campground. So I just was kind of hoping he wouldn't invite too many people. And there were people there from all across Canada, and of course, having had a relationship and heading up Vineyard Music, he knew everybody just about. So he kept inviting people, and finally I went out and I said to him, John, you've got to stop inviting people. I only have 24 hamburgers and 24 buns. I can't feed all these people. And I think I had some salad there and stuff. So, but did he listen? No, he just kept inviting people. And I just was getting more and more frustrated and upset. And not at all in a space where I was like praying to God and saying, okay, God, you know, here are all these people. There's got to be enough food for them. So we started feeding people, and they kept coming and eating. And finally I stopped, and I thought, I got to count how many people are eating hamburgers here and how many they've had. And I know Kenny had had at least 3 or 4. You know, Kenny. And I looked at the barbecue, and there were still about 5 or 6 patties on the barbecue. And I started counting, and I got up to about 35. And I thought, all of a sudden, you know, you just kind of like get hit. And I think, what's happened here? God's done something. He has multiplied the food. And I just started to feel totally overwhelmed because I thought, man, I wasn't even expecting him to do it. I wasn't even asking him to do it, and he did it. And I just felt like the love of God was just there, so present for all of these people, you know, because we had just, John had just invited, and never mind how much food we have, he just kept inviting, trusting that there'd be enough. And there was. There was enough, and there was left over.
And they were really good, too. I can testify personally to that.
Yeah.
See, like, when God makes wine, he doesn't just make, you know, poor quality wine, he makes best quality. Same applies to hamburgers. When God makes hamburgers, he makes pretty dang good hamburgers.
He does. Yeah. And so, I just love that open door, you know, invite people in. Don't worry about the food, what kind it is or how much you have and so on. There'll always be enough.
What do you love about the open door?
Just that feeling of welcome for people. And, when I grew up in small towns around southern Manitoba, you didn't wait for an invitation to go visit somebody. You just went. It was expected that Sunday afternoon people would have visitors. And it's that same sort of feeling, just an open door. And you're welcome anytime. So, and it's an equalizer too. Doesn't matter what status you are, whether you're rich or poor, everybody's welcome.
Hospitality is an equalizer. Can you say more about that? That sounds like a really...
Well, when the vineyard first, when we first started getting involved with people in this area, John would bring home people that were drunk, people that had been in a violent relationship with their live-ins or their spouse. He'd bring them to our place. We lived out in the country, and they'd spend the night with us. And that, for me, was a real eye-opener, because when this one lady especially, she was still quite inebriated, she came into our home, and I said, you know, there's a bedroom. We had three bedrooms downstairs. You can sleep there and stay, you know, as long as you want. And at first she wouldn't go down there, and I couldn't understand why. Why wouldn't you go in and sleep? Like, here you are, they're welcoming you. And she felt like it was just too much. It was just, we were offering her too much. She couldn't accept this. But eventually she did go down. She had a wonderful sleep in the morning. She woke up and she was fine. And we had a, it just was the beginning of a long relationship with her. And you know, didn't, so I realized it didn't matter to me who the person was, whether they're poor or whether they're addicted or whether they're some of our friends who own businesses and so on, are wealthy. It didn't matter. You know, everyone was welcome. And, it, and I want to treat them all the same.
So. Awesome. Do you have any more tidbits of wisdom for us here?
Man, I don't know.
I'm sure you do. You do. Of course you do.
Right,
that's good. Awesome. Thank you, Bob. Lindsay Ward, everybody.
Yay.
This must be Winkler's Sunday. I too was down in Winkler for that event. And at that time, we were involved in church plant at the Vineyard in South Winnipeg, and this vivacious young woman came running up to us and said, so you're involved with the Winnipeg South Vineyard? I want to go there. That was her passion. So there you go. That's the Winkler story. This is a story about the prophet's room. In 2 Kings, there's a brief reference to having a prophet's room. And this is something that Lois and I have developed over the last probably 15, 20 years as our kids moved out. And this will eventually happen to you folks too. Your kids are going to move out. Well, not all of them have moved out, but anyhow. They are moving out. Anyhow, the, as the room comes available, we kind of said, this is designated as a prophet's room. So you can check out 2 Kings. But I, let me tell you the story because I know the time's short. Most of you probably know Yonka, or have met Yonka, or Dan, or Muncho, the other son. And we identified with Yonka very early in her time here in Winnipeg, because she came as a refugee out of Bulgaria. I think her father was a professor, and she was a journalist, and ran into problems there and had to leave. And got to know her then, and continued a relationship with her. And she went on to work with MCC, and she was coming out of the Bulgaria, know a lot of the language in Eastern Europe, and Russian and Ukrainian. And she went with MCC and worked in Kiev, in Ukraine. And she met somebody over there, and that individual was coming to Canada, and she really wanted to have this individual, and I can't even remember his name, but he was, let's call him Ivan for lack of a better name, but he was living in the Eastern Ukraine, and he was a Christian and an itinerant evangelist, and basically at the end of the road. He was tired, he was burned out and roughed up and everything else. And he was on his one last trip, and he had this, I'm getting ahead of myself here. But anyhow, this gentleman, Ivan, came to Canada to do a tour, and we were asked by Yonka, she had sent us an email, would we or could we accommodate him? And we did so. So we set aside a couple of rooms because he was traveling with another pastor out of the Ukraine who was living in Toronto. Long story short, Ivan was on a tour of Eastern Russia in a car accident. Basically, dead. He was actually killed in the car accident. He was taken to the hospital and he was in the morgue. I'm gonna hit the pause button at that point. So the body's in the morgue. Ivan is now in our house in Winnipeg. And with the invitation we had with being in our house, Yonka's son, Dan, came and did the interpretation, translation. So we started to hear the story about this guy, Ivan. And he's in the morgue, and I grew up in the funeral business, so I've been in the morgue myself a few times. And lo and behold, there's another morgue attendant in there. And this individual suddenly hears, "I'm thirsty," in the local dialect. I mean, thirsty. Of course, obviously the person was rather spooked. They took him out of the morgue, back up into the hospital, put in the tubes. And while in the hospital bed, Jesus comes and has a visitation. So we're kind of hearing the story. We don't know anything about this Ivan. We start hearing the story. And at that point, as Diane is going through the translation, the story is slowly coming out. And I think, are we hearing this right? This person actually was raised from the dead. No, like, he's sitting in our living room in Fort Garry. The person's raised from the dead.
In Fort Garry?
In Fort Garry. Even in Fort Garry. Maybe it could come out of Fort Garry. I don't know. But anyhow, this one did. And I'm going to just speed up the story here. So, we're sitting here. Diane's telling the story. And we're thinking, are we hearing this right? And we're looking at each other. What's going on? And, you know, I'm starting to get goosebumps. I'm thinking, this has not happened. Da, 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 da. And he went on to tell the story of Jesus coming into his hospital room. And basically Jesus saying to him, take out the tubes and have a shower. So he gets out, takes out the tubes. He's got the IVs and everything else. And he's telling the story. And he's in having a shower, and the hospital attendant comes in, the nursing staff comes in, and he's not even in the bed. He's in the shower. It was so bad that when he was in the hospital, because this news started to spread, and at that time the communist bloc was still pretty solid, and God didn't act this way. He didn't act that way. Well, he did. And they had so many media coming, they basically booted him out of the hospital. They put him out of the hospital because he was just getting too much attention. He eventually made his way back to Ukraine. He's, at that time, this happened 10 years ago now, probably at least 10 years ago. He was pastoring a church of like 400 in the Ukraine. And his ministry just took off, and it's just an incredible story. And given the fact that he was in her home and staying with us, and he eventually then went on to that weekend, spent time at House of Hesed with Nathan and Rieger, and visited those folks and their distress. But the interesting thing is our son, we used his room because he was away with Sean Hogan. I think you guys were down at Rock Lake or something like that together. And so when he came back in the weekend basically saying, well, what's new? You know, who is this person and everything else? And I said, well, actually, the guy was raised from the dead. But that caused another conversation in our house. The only problem we had with Ivan, when you have somebody in your house, you can run into some cultural things. So he really did not speak any English at all. It was all being translated with this Ukrainian pastor out of Toronto. And my daughter at the time, this is the rest, she had a pet bunny, Munchkin. So eventually Munchkin gets hauled out to show him. And his only word that came out of his mouth was lunch. And he wasn't thinking in the term, but there's not a cute little bunny to have around the lunch table. No. He was thinking of lunch in the other way. But I thought to ourselves, like, when you have a prophet's room and you say, you know, that here's an opportunity to invite somebody into your home in the comfort of your own living room without the risks of, you know, any a number of other things, you never know who God's going to bring into your countenance. And this is one story with Yonka and Ivan from the Ukraine, raised from the dead. And we've had other people in our home over the years. And for those of you that are at the men's retreat, I talked a bit about our involvement with international, so we've always had a heart for that. And we've just had some great encounters. And you just don't know where they're going to end up. You know, like whether they're university students, they may go back and be the next president of the country or prime minister, who knows what. But it's just a wonderful opportunity. So I would encourage you to think about having a prophet's room as time and space enable you to do so, because you never know how God's going to surprise you.
Why do you do that? What motivates you?
I guess we've always had the heart for the alien, the foreigner, the stranger. And it's just been in our DNA for the last, well, we were involved with refugee sponsorship with boat people, and it's just who we are, and just a fascination with the people of the world, the nations of the world. So anytime anybody sings a song about, you know, reaching out for the nations, it just kind of, you know, it just kind of grabs me. It's just who Lois and I are. And it's carried over in our kids, because our daughter's married to a Bangalorean who's an Indian, and our son is engaged to a girl from Goa in India. So the international context continues. This is who we are. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you, Lindsay.
Thanks for
Just one other thought. A new thing. And we've had this so many times. People say, how do you have these people come into your house? Well, you don't know them. You only, you know. Of course, the obvious thing is if they're hackers and slashers, I'm going to pull out a knife and slit your throat in the middle of the night. No, but never had an adverse encounter. It's just I'm not getting to say no bed bugs or anything like that. So.
How many people don't have take you had, like, if you were to take a rough estimate, you probably don't know offhand, but like, over the years that you've been inviting people into your home, inviting the stranger, the foreigner, into your home?
Oh, I must be 25 to 50. 25, 35.
Yeah, over the years.
Yeah. It does lead to issues that I can remember Sean Hogan arm wrestling a Uyghur from China in our home as well. So. Yeah, interesting times.
Yeah. Awesome.
Okay.
Thanks. Gloria.
Wow. Well, I don't have any stories of multiplying hamburgers or people getting raised from the dead. That's so cool, hey? So cool. So I'm just going to share a little bit about our house group. It's, I guess, more about building community right here, but we always have an eye out to just invite whoever. So I'll just tell you, well, we do have a house group that runs every other week, and we love that. And so, and not to pull away from anyone else's house group, we always have this little running competition with the Kelly's house group. Just very friendly, all in love. But if you guys are ever interested in a place to connect, then certainly do talk to us. I'll just tell you about one student we had last year. Her name was Anka. I don't know if you guys remember her. She's a student from Germany, and she was invited to our house group, actually not even by us, but by somebody else. And it was Cornelius Martins, and he said, oh, Gloria, this German student named Anka, and you know, I told her about your house group, and I said, oh, great, great. So we invited her to come, and she had a place to instantly connect when she came here. And it was just really cool to see her blossom through her time in Canada. She was here on a 6-month work term type thing. And so she was working in this factory. I never clearly understood what she did, but okay, great, you know. It was great, but one thing that really struck me about Anka was that how amazed she was at Canada and how amazed she was at our church, how amazed she was at her work placement. Like, she loved everything, absolutely everything. And every time she came to house group, seriously, every time. And I said, oh, Anka, how's it going in Canada? What, you know, it's great. It's just so great. And everything to her was just a gift. And then she ended up going camping with Jesse Penner, like, a lot that summer. And she loved Canada. She went canoeing. She went to the women's retreat at the Rademacher's College. Loved it. Couldn't say enough. And I just thought, wow, like, here's somebody who just really enjoys Canada, and everything was a gift for her, absolutely everything. And so I could really appreciate Canada in a whole new way, right? Just by seeing it through her eyes. And then we actually invited her to share her story one time at house group. So she talked about just her journey with God and how she really came into her relationship with Christ. She was raised in a pretty, formal German church. Maybe Lutheran, I don't know. It was fairly liturgical and fairly formal. But how she really encountered the Lord for herself, and she actually experienced a supernatural healing in her life. She had some kind of, I do have a miracle story, not that happened to me, but happened to her. So she shared it, and it was something to do with some skin problem on her legs. Do you remember, Stephen, what she shared? Anyway, so she received that healing, and then how when she was a kid, she always wore pants and jeans, and she kind of liked being a tomboy, and how she felt the Lord talk to her about how I've made you a girl. And so she embraced her feminine feminine side, and oh, Jesus made me this, I'm going to be that. And it just all seemed so natural to her, and she just absolutely loved being in Canada. So that was just a really neat story, just to, because we had a house group ready to go, we had a place for her to come and connect. And I guess one thing I want to encourage everybody in is, when you extend hospitality, sometimes, like, I can appreciate what people are saying, it can be overwhelming, because you think, oh my goodness, I don't know if I have what it takes. But if you're in a house group, you can share that, right? And so actually what happened, like, I think Cornelius helped her with an internet problem that she had, Jesse went camping with her, like, different people in our community, in our house group, helped her, and it was just all fun. And then even, like, different, this is not her, but different people in our house group, if they don't have rides, I know I found that overwhelming, because to get home, get your house ready, get everything done, and then to give people a ride home after was challenging, because we had to make sure our, well, Benjamin was on the homework train, you know, and so we had other people offer to give rides home, and that was, like, amazing, too. So when you are in a house group, you can do that in community, and it's so helpful, because then you're not doing it all by yourself. Because really, we do have a heart to extend hospitality. We believe we've been given our house in order to do that, and to serve our community, to serve WCV, but not just WCV, or neighborhood too, or different people, but definitely WCV, right? Definitely. And I feel like Jesus wants us to take care of business and to just to be that place of welcome. And so if you don't have a house group, then talk to me, because we would love to have you. And babe, but no pressure. We don't have now. You need to sign up every week. Sign your name in blood to come. No, that's not the way we roll at our house group, because I know how busy people get. But just like a little bit, just so, well, I'm not saying you do, Ben.
Ben's house group, on the other hand.
Ben's house group. That's true. Ben has actually attended our house group, and we've chosen to look at that positively. Like, he wasn't just there to spy out the land.
Well, that whole contract thing made me feel uncomfortable.
We have no contract. No, it's all good. We just want to share some community, share some connection, so that when you do walk in the doors of WCV, you think, hey, I know you. I've talked to you, and I know something about your life, and you know something about mine. So I guess the picture I have for hospitality is, you know, when Jesus said, I'm leaving the 99 to go look for that one. You know how we're supposed to be doing that? We're supposed to be looking for that one. To me, hospitality or having a house group is like taking a few of those 99 with you. That's helpful. And if it was me, like my personality, I'd probably take all 99. Let's go. It's fun. Let's go. And that might not always be possible. But, you know, really, you're just joining Jesus in that search to look for that one. So that's what we're doing with house group. And I can really relate to the whole, like, how do you have proper boundaries? And because we have family life and other obligations, jobs that are fairly challenging and fairly demanding. So you don't have to meet every need, but it's just good to meet the needs where you can, right?
How do you know? How do you know which ones you should meet?
You know what? That's a tough question. That's a good question, Andy. And I still wrestle with that. Do you know one thing I feel like the Lord said, and he said this specifically to this crowd too, he said, don't worry about being too perfectionist or perfectionist at all. Like, really, don't worry about making mistakes. Like, I was at a conference recently, and they said, you know, the only people who don't make mistakes are dead people. They said, if you want a comfortable life with no mistakes, get a casket. They said, that's the only ones. And I thought, ooh, and you could apply that to any area, but definitely this one. Because you just think, wow, you know, and I don't know, Andy, but I'll just tell you a funny story. Like,
I need to know. I need an answer.
Well, okay. The other day.
But like, you see the wrestle, though, eh?
Yeah, it is.
And
totally
that's what
wrestle.
It is, right?
Yeah, like, I invited some people over. Well, I'll just tell you, since it's a smaller group here. We have a daughter who's married now, and his parent, like the Kennedys, anybody know them? Like, they're very classy people, in case you don't, but they're lovely, so we've enjoyed getting to know them, and their family. So I just felt from the Lord, just have them over, invite them, come for half an hour, even a little bit, just come, it doesn't matter, I can't stay the whole time, that's okay, just come. So anyway, they were coming over, and has anyone ever been here? Like, you want people to come, but please, God, do not let them come early. Has this ever happened to you? It happened to me. I had such a busy day. My kitchen floor was dirty. I had to go for a run. I was wearing my sweats. I went for my run. I was sweaty. My hair was in a ponytail. My kitchen floor was dirty, and I still had stuff to do for supper. It was supposed to come at 6. It was 5:15. Our doorbell doesn't work, but Stephen came down the stairs. He goes, "Gloria, Sharon's here." I went, "What? That's his phone." I'm like, "Oh, shoot." So I opened the door, and there she is standing in her, like,
classy
self. My hair in a ponytail, my kitchen floor is dirty. I went, "Hi, just come on in. That's okay." She goes, "Oh, I'm sorry. I know I'm late." Like, this is the thing. I was so... And I thought, you know, just go with it. I said, "Sharon, I'm so sorry, I'm just running a little bit behind." That's okay. And it's just so cool to see them relax, you know, because they care about, and I do care too, right? I care about how my house looks, and maybe sometimes too much, you know? So anyway, that's just a little story between me. I was like, you know, it's that picture of Mark.
And the internet, because it's being recorded.
Think of that. I'm too old to always consider. No, it's all good. But you know, like Martha, right? In the Bible, she's running around to help. She probably had that heart of hospitality. She probably liked having people over. But it was like, come on, tell her to help me. Martha's get the job done, I want you to know. They're good people to have. They do. They get the job done. But the thing is, we can't forget that big picture. It's that heart of love and figuring out what Jesus is saying. So anyway, that's all I have to say. I have to keep it short, I know.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. I especially love the idea. I don't know, like, you don't have to do it all, right?
Yeah.
And it's kind of, it echoes, to me, that echoes what the Hebrews said. They said, "We cried out to the Lord," in Deuteronomy 26, right? "We cried out to the Lord." It was we. It wasn't "I cried out to the Lord." And it was a "we" that extended over 400 years. And so you extend hospitality, but your house group. And it's
sure.
It's like this collective thing, right? It's not an individual.
Yeah. And can I just say one thing? I would consider some people in our house group to be far more, like, I don't know, better at it than me, as far as... But I just facilitate a place for meeting. We do, I should say we do. Stephen works in Saskatoon right now a lot, so he joins our house group via Facebook. That is how high-tech we are. So.
FaceTime. Yeah.
Not Facebook.
Right.
FaceTime, where we can get that
to
work. Anyway, join us if you
can. Awesome, thanks. Cool. So we can go on. I encourage you, actually, speaking of the internet and recording and stuff, last week there was about 6 stories that were shared downstairs, totally different stories of hospitality both given and received. And so I encourage you to listen to those. They're really good. Cornelius, actually, is one of them. Does he come to your house group?
He did.
So he doesn't even go to your house group, and he's inviting people to your house group.
That's right.
So there you go.
But he did at that time.
Okay. Hey, is there any other stories percolating that someone would want to be brave enough to share of hospitality? I just want to give space for it. It's okay if there's not, but I do want to give space for that. Yeah, Sherry, just come to the mic, though.
It's actually a little bit of a story about about hearing, like, God speak about hospitality during this series. My heart wanting to respond and me not responding. Can I share that?
Sure.
Okay.
Hey, what can I say?
You were not allowed to do
that. Okay. When we first started this series, Raymond had shared downstairs about his home. And when he was speaking, often, like, in our service, sometimes when people share, just kind of offhandedly, I just sort of feel it's such the Holy Spirit speaking and challenging, and even in our children. But that morning when Raymond shared, I was so overwhelmed by something he said. He was talking about his home. He's like, "Oh, I've got this home, I have a home, I have a home." And those words kind of just kept ringing with me, "I have a home." And I said to, I think it was you, or maybe one of the other leaders, I said, "You know, I just really feel like that was the Holy Spirit speaking about hospitality. That's what people's heart cry is, like, I have a home. When we welcome them into our homes or into our lives, that's what the Holy Spirit speaks," he says. he says. These people say, I have a home. So Paul and I were chatting with Raymond and talking about his house, and we really felt like, oh, we should go over to Raymond's house, and we told him this. We said, Raymond, we're going to go over to your house, and we're going to bring KFC, a big bucket of KFC, and we're going to sit in your house and spend some time with you. And so in our palm of my head, we're like, we're going to do that, and we really were and are. But Raymond heard that we were going to do it that week. So he came to us this morning in the worship downstairs, and he looked upset, and he kept going like this, and he's like, God is upset, God is angry. And he's like, what? And so I grabbed his hand, and I'm like, what's he angry about? He's like, well, he's angry because you said that you were going to come to my house, and he's angry because you didn't do it. And as soon as he said it, I was like, because last week I had gone out shopping, and when we were thinking about going to see Raymond, I thought, I'm going to buy him these fuzzy big blankets, because I think that would be nice in his house. I'm going to buy it for him. And so I was out shopping, and I saw these big fuzzy blankets, but then I also saw these really awesome sweaters for myself. And I bought a sweater instead of, not this one, I bought a sweater instead of the fuzzy sweater, or the fuzzy blanket for him. And so I was reminded, obviously, that week by the Holy Spirit about Raymond and about my promise, or my intention, but I didn't follow through with it. And so this morning, I just really challenged the games, like, you know, not that God is, well, maybe he is angry that we have opportunity all the time to welcome, to let people say, I have a home, I have a home. But we miss it, right? Because we're not listening and we're not in tune. So we are going to get KFC. I wish I wouldn't have had to have that reprimand to do it. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, we are going to, and I'm going to go directly after church and get the blanket that I knew was for him. So I just wanted to share that.
Awesome. Just a comment on dealing with internationals. You have to be very careful when you use the expressions which we use, like we say, see you later or catch you later.
Yes.
And they expect that they're going to see you later.
Right.
You don't necessarily mean that.
It's not just a phrase. Yeah.
My name is Sean.
Hi, Sean.
So, I don't really have any stories right now, but I felt like I should come up and talk a little bit. Our house group has been doing, we give them these tangents in our house group, and then we really obsess about them on the internet, and then we have this like Facebook chat that's going on with everybody, including all like the people that everybody knows involved, and they're just like sending all these links and things. Anyways, we kind of have been on this thing with personality types the past couple weeks.
Woo.
Really bizarre, totally bizarre. I am incredibly soft toilet paper. That's what I am. ISTP. Hospitality comes easier for some people than it does for other people.
Some personality
types. Some people are like extroverted and they need people around all the time. All I ever want to do is sit in my basement and watch movies and play video games.
Woo!
I don't ever want to see anybody ever.
I thought it was just me. We should hang out.
With like a curtain between us. Going to movies is awesome because it's dark and you can pretend that you're alone. Some people, it's super easy. We have these people in our group that are extroverted. All they want to do is spend time with each other. And don't talk. Shit. It's exhausting. So anyways, I'm not like that. However, reading this book about Hutterites right now, which is like extremely poorly written. Don't ever read it. But last night, there was a thing, before I read my Batman comic, there was a thing in it that said, this guy was coming back to the Hutterite community and he said, I've said it before and I'll say it again, you cannot get into heaven outside of community living. And it's very, very convicting for me because I think that the Hutterite way of life is a little bit extreme for me, but I think that there's probably some truth in there. We're constantly being challenged. God won't let us be alone, or God won't let me be alone. We have people on our block who've decided that we can't be alone. There's this guy across the street named Rob who is like incredible. I've learned more about hospitality and community from him than I've learned from anybody I've ever met in my entire life. This guy is a raging alcoholic, and he gets into fights, and he cuts down trees that aren't his, and they fall into people's houses.
Like, plural? This happens more than once?
Yeah! Because he can't remember he did it the weekend before! This guy comes to our house at least once a week and brings us bread and cake and fruit that he's bought. He shovels our walk, he mows our... I didn't mow my lawn once this year. Not one time. I barely raked my leaves. Anyways, what I've learned from him is that if you want community, it's not about loving community. It's about loving your neighbor. It's about loving the actual person. If you love community, you're going to kill it. And if you want to be hospitable, you have to be available. That guy is comparable to a job. He's just awesome. And he's just so broken, but he is always there for you, and he's always there watching. And so if you go outside of your house, he's immediately beelining to you to see, hey, how's it going? Can I help you with anything? Can I help you carry? Do you need help? I can help carry things. I can help do things. So anyways, I don't want to be around anybody ever. Rob doesn't let me do that, and I'm way better for it. So if you want to be hospitable, you have to make yourself available. Just be outside. Be around people. The end.
Thank you, man. Awesome. Some really good stuff there. Actually, Dietrich Bonhoeffer has a quote that you basically quoted, which says, if you love your wish dream of community, you'll end up destroying it. But if you love people, you'll create community. And that's... Pardon me? Good. Well, this idea, I just have a few thoughts before we celebrate communion, just to kind of wrap this all up. And I think we could probably keep going, and that's fun. Because it's fun to extend ourselves, although not always. It's stretching, isn't it? Especially different personality types. But the point is that everybody can create space, or can create space in their life in one way or another for the other, for the widow, the orphan, the alien, and the Levite, as we've been instructed to do in our text that we've been reading about. But this whole idea of home is so important, and I think Gloria mentioned it, about creating an environment for people. It's just about creating an environment for people and welcoming people in to whatever that, it could be your physical home, but you just in your life, you know? And that can be at your work, that can be at your school, that can be all kinds of different places. But the point of it is that they're practical expressions of Christ's love. Every time that we extend hospitality to someone, in the broad sense, every time that we make room for the other, we're doing two things. One is we're practically expressing Christ's love to those around us. It's making love real. Love is a verb. And it means a verb has to be done. So love has to be done, extended, made practical, right? So that's the first thing. But the second thing is that as we do that, as we do love, as we extend hospitality, we are reflecting God's love and reflecting God's heart of hospitality to the world. Right? If we are like him, we do the stuff that he loves. And we end up looking like Christ. We look like Jesus. And we reflect God's heart of hospitality to the world. We basically share with the world what he's like. It's kind of evangelistic in a way. Think about it like that. As we extend these practical little things, you know, open ourselves up, open our houses up, open our families up in whatever way, shape, or form. Bearing in mind that we all probably need some backyards with fences in, right? I have a few verses here. First Peter says, to show hospitality without grumbling. That's what Peter instructed people to do. Show hospitality without grumbling. Paul in Romans 12 encourages us to pursue hospitality. To pursue it. Like, to make sure that we don't, you know, hunker down in the basement with our video game or whatever the case is, right? Every introvert has their own version of that. But to pursue hospitality. Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews, don't neglect to show hospitality to the stranger. To the stranger. And if you parse hospitality, even just that word, it comes down to two words, love and stranger. Love of stranger. So you can't practice hospitality to your friends. You can be inviting, you know, invite them into your, but it's to the stranger. It's to those that you don't know. In 2 Timothy and in Titus, it's a requirement for leadership. It's one of the major requirements of elders in the church that they have identified, was that they practice hospitality. And actually, it was one of the requirements in 1 Timothy that if there was a widow that was going to be needing some help, because we talked a number of weeks ago that they were often quite vulnerable, but if they were going to be needing some help, they would get help if they had practiced hospitality themselves to others. Kind of comes back to you, like what Cam talked about last week. So love of stranger. And this whole idea of, and I like what you said, Gloria, you had said, we've been, and I think it kind of ran through all of the different stories, but what you've been given to give away, to be used. So you said your house, you've been given your house. How can we use it? How can we use it for hospitality? But every practice of hospitality, there's one important thing, is you need a host, right? If you're going to practice, you're going to be the host. And I think it's really fascinating that in a lot of church traditions, this right here, it's really smooth, eh? This right here, this bread, this representation of Christ's body broken for us. You know what it's called? It's called the host. Exactly. Thanks. It's called the host. And I think it's a beautiful thing to talk about hospitality. And as we do it, we talk about the host, about Christ's body, and how when we practice hospitality, we're reflecting his love. We're showing the world God's heart for hospitality, God's open arms to us. But it takes us to the cross. It leads right back to the cross. And even picture, you know, like Christ on the cross, his arms. Right? They're spread. It's a welcome. Even on the cross, Christ, Jesus, extended, he made room. It was almost like, I receive you in his arms. And so as he opens his arms, as he opened his arms, we open our arms to the stranger around us, to the widow, the orphan, the alien, to the poor around us, right? As Jesus opened his arms, we open our arms. And that's what he did as the host. And it was almost like he was saying, I welcome you, I receive you, I am going to open up my arms, I will die for you so that I can go and be your host in my Father's house. It's profound, this connection, that he is going to host us, and that as we host others in our lives, in a very real way, we're hosting Jesus. And we're showing Jesus to others. We don't have time to talk about that. I would love to talk more about that. But we're going to do it together. So, Krista, can you come up? And Nathan and Steph. And they're going to sing. And we're going to come and celebrate communion together. We're going to do it slightly differently. We're going to serve each other. And so, when you come to the table here to the bread and to the juice. You're going to be served by the person in front of you. And then you will take the bread. And we're going to, same in cups here, we're just doing it differently. You can take the bread and then dip it into the juice and eat it. And then turn around and serve the person behind you. Okay? Does that make sense? So you will both receive and you will serve. And that's really the heart of hospitality, right? Is that we are able to give because we've received. We are able to extend Christ's hospitality because we've received his hospitality. We've received his forgiveness. Figured it out?
If we could put it close enough.
Yeah, sure.
It's brighter.
You figured it out. So let's pray and let's do this, okay, guys? Lord, thank you so much. Thank you so much for your invitation to us. Thank you that you are a God, you are a God whose arms are open wide. That you have allowed your body to be broken for us, and that you allowed your blood to be spilled for us, and that you extended your arms in welcome and in forgiveness, and you took on all of the stuff that kept us from your Father, all the sin, all the evil, all the injustice. Offered us forgiveness and love and presence.